Jackson trying to escape and run for it, and he's got it more. Lamar Jackson down the sideline. Will they give it to him? They will. Touchdown, Baltimore.
And with 1:17 left to play on Wild Card Weekend, the Hayes in the Barn.
Oh my God! I wish you guys could. I wish we had a camera in here so you could see what we're doing. We're just a bunch of clowns in here.
How much fun is that?
All right, welcome on back to another edition of the Baltimore Beatdown Podcast. It is Friday, October 22nd, 2021. My name is Jake Luke, and I'm joined on screen by Spencer Nathaniel Schultz with a lock of hair just gingerly parting down the middle of his forehead. Butt cut looking as good as it's ever looked. How's it going, bud?
Going well. Had a super duper ridiculously busy day and week. This has been a lot going on. We're looking to add some interns. We got a couple lined up. If you're someone who could help us with a little audio production, a little video, nothing too crazy, has you know any social media experience, anything at all, feel free to send me an email at spennyfootball@gmail.com. Send me an email. Just include any work you're proud of, any resume, notes, experience you have. We're just looking for someone to help us a couple times a week. Jake and I are doing a lot. It'd be nice to be able to chill sometimes, even though I love everything that I do. But we're looking for someone to help us out a little bit. Again, that's spennyfootball@gmail.com. Submit anything. We got a couple interviews on the docket and some things of that nature. So trying to relieve ourselves a little bit. I think you and I have had a kick-ass start to this season, if I do say so myself. I feel like these pods have been great. We've had good content, good guests. We have two great guests for you today with Mike Sands, who covers the Bengals. I think he does Locked On Bengals and a good film guy. He's a big trenches guy. He's kind of like our own little Skyline Chili Cole Jackson, friend of the pod for the Bengals. So we got Cole up in Canada. We got Mike over there eating chili on pasta. And then we got Nick Cullison, otherwise known as Raven's Tattoo Guy, to come on and give us a little backstory about his tattoos and all that good stuff. But feeling good, 5-1, first divisional game. It's Crispy Boy season. It's Sad Boy season. It's Pumpkin Spice season. Like, this is what we live for, man.
I don't know about you. I don't think it is Sad Boy season. I live for spooky season and love the fall. Get on my nice fall candles, some nice fall beer, and crack the windows open, get the fires going every now and again, start fucking with the fireplace a little bit. It's a great time of year.
Start fucking with the fireplace.
Yeah, man. Get it, you know, pour out a nice stiff whiskey, get a fire going, and watch a movie. There's few things that give me more pleasure in life. But yeah, another thing that gives me pleasure is the 5-1 Baltimore Ravens, who will be welcoming the Bengals into town at 4-2, and we did chat with Mike Sands about that. Just a great guy. He's fun to talk to. He's fun to kind of mix it up with on Twitter, and brings a really kind of just a very analytical, and I don't mean that in like the analytics, like nerd term, you know, PFF type thing, but like just sort of, you know, approaches the game from
logical and like well thought and organized. And
yeah.
He's kind of like us. He likes to say dumb shit and fuck around, but he also is like down to get into the annals of what's going on in the field.
Exactly. So that's a great one that you're going to want to tune into, a nice tight 30 minutes or so on the Bengals. And then after that, one of the more like randomly fun interviews that we've done, it's probably like 10, 15 minutes with Nick Cullison talking, just talking Ravens tattoos and stuff like that. Great Baltimore accent on that gentleman. So that was a fun one as well.
For sure. So yeah, why don't we throw it over to those? We don't have a ton. News wise, there's Nick Boyle's back at practice. Brandon mm-hmm. Knight says, fuck the Ravens.
Well, there's a mental health thing going on there, so we can.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. So he just tweeted that today.
So maybe it was like the fact that like he, you know, would have weighed on him to have to move and stuff, and he wasn't in a good mental place. So hopefully he gets better. So Eric DaCosta back to scouring.
Ronnie Stanley IR. I don't think we've
Ronnie Stanley done for the year is what it is. Was kind of what the grapevine was whispering for. Couple weeks. I had a little bit of hope just because, you know, they weren't putting him on an IR for so long, which was so peculiar. And everyone kept saying they don't need that spot, but it's just like such an anti-Ravens thing to not utilize every possible roster spot. It's very strange. So that gave me a little hope, but it was false hope. the big fella. Our hearts go out to him. Ronnie Stanley, you know, has a ton of love for Baltimore. He's done a ton of great things in Baltimore. And hopefully, you know, he's able to keep his chickens and his mentals right and relax and, you know, take a load off for a year after beating the living shit out of his body, trying to rehab this last year and couldn't quite get it where he wanted. So we wish the best for Guru and Guru Punch Podcast in general. We pray that keeps going because that's a great one.
Yeah, I was going to say, this will give him more time to focus on Guru Punch. So that's great. But yeah, I mean, we wish all the best to him. I think he's a great guy, as we've been kind of chopping it up with each other through text and social media and stuff like that. So wishing him all the best in his recovery. If you're somebody who is not doing that for fan reasons, you can go fuck yourself. So just that's my last statement on that. And yeah, so wish Ronnie the best. Great to see Nick Boyle back. I assume he's not going to play this weekend, so give him a nice 2-week window to really get into the swing of things. Then
they have the bye next week, correct?
Yes, they do. So coming out of the bye, probably going to see some Nick Boyle. But we got this game coming up with the Bengals, so I guess we can throw it over to Mike Sands. Then we'll go to Nick Cullison. Then we'll come back on the other side and give our predickies. How's that sound?
Beautiful. Let's do it.
Boom. All right. We now welcome back a very special guest. It is a friend of the pod. It's Mr. Mike Sands of Locked On Bengals hopping on with us here today to talk a little about the main event this weekend. Ravens, Bengals, Cincy coming to town. Both teams in pretty damn good shape. Mike, I think when we talked back over the summer, I don't know if we expected that these teams would be meeting at 5-1 and 4-2, probably in either category. I know for sure that I didn't think that the Ravens were going to be where they were at right now. I got to assume that you weren't feeling quite that bullish on this Bengals team, but here we are, here they are. It's going to be a fun one. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Yeah, definitely unexpected on this side, because I was thinking like, oh, Burrow make it off to a slow start and then 4-2. I'm like, okay, well, I mean, I'll take it. So how are you guys doing?
We're doing awesome, brother. It's definitely two teams that had some injury situations and some narratives in the preseason that we now know. I feel like just COVID made everybody forget what the preseason is. It's just like, it's for the bubble guys. Preseason's for the bubble guys, the rookies a little bit, like whatever, and not even really that much. It's like the preseason's for our Darius Washington and guys like Pat Ricard a couple years ago. It's like that is the importance there. And so everybody, you know, had hot take city. I think COVID made us forget what it is. There's some younger people that are coming up on the old media trail and all that good stuff. But yeah, 1-2 in the division for the AFC North. So it's exciting. It's a fun matchup. The Bengals are definitely the fan side of me, like the team I hate the least in the AFC North by far. I feel like the Ravens might be that for the Bengals. I don't know. I feel like it varies by Bengals fan.
For me, for everybody that's not the Steelers are the easy number one for least liked. But yeah, I think me and there's plenty of other Bengals fans, I think, would agree that Ravens are probably the most
the least
amicable.
Hated.
Yeah, yeah. Least hated matchup of this. I mean, there's been usually when you think of definitely Bengals Steelers games, but even Bengals Browns games, it gets a little chippy, gets a little like that. And
Bengals Plus, they're both in the state of Ohio.
Yeah, there's that too. And who's going to win, Columbus or something? I don't know.
Shared but, history between Ravens the two franchises, game. You know.
Yeah, Paul Brown, I mean, he made the Bengals out of spite of the Cleveland Browns, so I don't think the Bengals fans are allowed to like them at all. But when I think of Bengals-Ravens games, I think of, like, big wide receiver games. Of, like, the main one I go to is the Steve Smith-AJ Green game of, like, 2015, and I'm like, oh, what great memories. I mean, maybe better for me because the Bengals won, but, I mean, what a game.
Yeah, to
Chad
that point,
Johnson
too, I think.
Chris McAllister back in the day, too.
Yeah, and, like. Yeah, those were fun. And like to that point, it's like it kind of feels like for as much as the Ravens have beaten up on the Browns over the years and it's kind of been neck and neck with the Steelers. And it kind of feels like it's them and the Steelers kind of trying to pronounce themselves as that number two team in the AFC during all the Brady dominant years. As much as like people kind of paper over the Bengals in that stretch, they've really given the Ravens kind of a tough time, even going back to like the Palmer days and Andy Dalton. For as much as everyone else around the league kind of tried to crap on them, I remember kind of trying to remain quiet throughout that because I didn't want to have the discussion about how often he would torch the Ravens, even in losses. So, you know, it's, if nothing else, it's been a fun on the field product.
Yeah. Marvin Lewis revenge games back in the day, he must've really gotten ready for those Ravens games.
When Marvin Lewis goes up against the Ravens, you toss the record books out.
Classic, absolute classic. So the first question I have for you, Mike, is who is responsible for the Bengals being pretty damn good right now, and why is it Duke Tobin?
Right.
I mean, he's killed it in the draft the past 2 years, I think. He's done a really good job there. And whatever got into the Bengals and signing free agents has been cool. That's not something they did before. I remember reading articles in like 2014. It's like the Bengals built through the draft. It's like, well, yeah, it's just because they don't sign anybody. It's like you have to hit on these. But I guess you miss a couple drafts and then you got to supplement with talent. If I'm going to give credit to one guy, it's DJ Reader. That's my guy, the 330-pound monster in the middle. That's, you know, I'll always give a big guy credit for the team doing well.
Definitely. And so I guess he seems like a guy who's probably standing out so far over these first five games. And I guess what I'm curious about over these first five games is I think what everyone wants to talk about at this point is the big guy, number one pick, Joe Burrow. I mean, his renaissance here, I shouldn't even say renaissance, his development here is what's got the Bengals where they're at 4-2. And I just generally, from my perspective, I'm just curious what we're seeing overall from him. I've seen some, I wouldn't necessarily say pushback, but some talk about how, oh, his arm's never going to be strong enough for him to be like among the top five in the league. And there's all this other stuff. But it just like to me, and this goes all the way back to the LSU days, and I'm a Cajun person. So, you know, I rooted pretty damn hard for LSU in that championship year. So I feel like I've had a lot of personal stock in Joe Burrow. So what have we seen from him over these first, you know, six games that tell you that this guy is going to be the guy to lead the franchise moving forward, even if they don't get it done on Sunday? Because I don't think, as much as people are ballooning this up as like the Bengals need to get a win here, and I'd maybe agree with that, it does feel like they found their guy definitively.
Yeah, I mean, even if they lose, it's still 4-3, and that's a winning record as of now. So not must win, but it's a win if you want to be taken seriously for threatening the division. With Burrow specifically, to me, I agree that his arm's not the strongest, but at the same time, to me, that also gets a little bit overinflated. Like, to me, that means if he sees something late, he can't really throw it and fit it in there like a Matt Stafford.
He has a smaller margin for error, is what that means.
Yes, yeah. Anytime you're late on something, it's like, okay, if I throw that, I might get picked, so I can't throw that one, so let me move on to something else or scramble and make something happen rather than, oh, I'm Josh Allen and I could rocket this thing 70 miles per hour into the wide receiver's gut anyway. Nobody's going to pick this off. He's really smart, although he still makes mistakes once in a while because he is a young quarterback. But I think he does a really good job pre-snap. I think going through his reads and coming back from the injury, he's pretty much already back to where he was, if not better. So that's really encouraging to see. He got kind of eased back in. That's why there are a lot of fans freaking out about the neutral game run or neutral situation run rate. It's like, well, yeah, because their quarterback just coming off of torn ACL, they don't want him taking hits, so they're handing off Joe Mixon a little bit more than normal. It's gonna change, and it did. So the training wheels seem to be almost completely off, and he's doing a great job with it.
And what are you seeing when it goes poorly, when there's not a great game script? I feel like the Bears gave him a little bit of trouble. What are you seeing in terms of offensive line play, general flow, play calling, when things don't look great? And then you can flip that and keep rolling if you want to when they do.
When they don't go great? Yeah, the Bears game, great example of things didn't go great, and then it was just compounding mistakes on top of mistakes where, I mean, three interceptions in a row is just unexcusable, although one was definitely Joe Mixon whiffed on his block and he took a hit while throwing. So that was one interception and just kind of fell into a defensive lineman's lap. So two of them were his fault. And then one of them, yeah, whatever, but you know, when it rains, it pours. The offensive line, I don't know. It feels like when they're in empty, which they are in a lot, and defenses show pressure looks, they're still not fully there on knowing who's coming, who's not coming. And that's just not something they're adept at. And there's ways to get around that. You can attach guys to the line so that if you need them to block, they can block. But they like to get in that spread empty look, and that's really difficult on the offensive line. And it's like playing guess who. There's six guys and you have five of you, so which one is dropping and can you figure that out? They haven't done a great job.
It can happen pre-snap, and it can be indicators. It can be, you know, guys talk communicating, guys that are up, you know, leaning forward on their toes. So you got to be with it pre-snap. And if you're thinking about a million things, you might miss some of those key details.
And one other thing is that week one against the Vikings, Burrow, I think, knew that Zimmer loved disguising stuff. So he went hardcore. Almost everything was either a hard count or he varied it with like a quick count to go with it. And specifically, I think about one play where it was Ja'Marr Chase, his first ever touchdown. The Vikings show single high. He gives a hard count and a safety from the line starts sprinting backwards. And it's like, oh, crap, they know. So he knew they were in some type of too deep and was able to throw a go ball over Breshad Breeland's head, touchdown. And that was really cool to see. I would hope that Burrow's going to use that a little bit against Baltimore with their affinity for disguised pressures, bringing four, but it's not the four you see. It's four that could be anybody, things like that, and maybe getting a little bit of an advantage that way just to help out the offensive line so they don't let in these free runners. And I'm sure Burrow wants to help himself out to not take seven hits.
Not to put you on the spot here, but you mentioned kind of the disguised pressures and, you know, some of the simulated blitzes we were talking about before we got going here. I've seen this metric thrown around by a couple of different outlets that he's the number one quarterback against the blitz this year so far. And I mean, that's pretty huge for a young guy. And you talked about some of the checks that he's making at the line, but we also were talking about before we got going here about how the Ravens defensive coordinator Stink Fartenwale really loves to kind of go out of his way to blitz and do all these kind of special different blitzes that a young quarterback might not be acclimated to. It feels like with that stat versus that kind of reality with the Ravens defense, it feels like something's got to give here. Who do you expect to kind of win that matchup? If the, you know, not a stalemate, you can pick whatever you want.
There's going to be some give and take, and I wouldn't be surprised if Burrow does take advantage of some of the pressure looks at Stink Fart. I laugh every time somebody says Stink Fartenwale.
For anyone, by the way, for anyone that doesn't know what we're talking about, Jonah Schaefer was, I don't know what he was doing, but he was checking out, I think, the Bengals SB Nation page, and there were some Bengals fans, to our point there about the relationship being relatively friendly, some Bengals fans didn't love Wink Martindale, and they brandished him with that name. So we've been having some fun with that.
I don't even know if they didn't love him. They just saw a shot and took it. Like, you can't think of that and not say it.
And I mean, honestly, yeah, that's pretty artistic stuff. So shout out to whoever coined that. Good for them. And you can continue with your question.
I'm going to lean towards old Fartenwale. He's
in old Fartenwale.
Old Fartenwale. But for my money, I think he would be the best pressure design defensive coordinator in the entire NFL. But maybe I'm scarred from the game last year in Baltimore. Just really good at designing his pressures, dictating offensive lineman protections, and then beating them. And man, I mean, there's good guys, but then at the same time, Zimmer likes to keep things in front of him and then bring it on third down, where Martindale will bring it any down and third down. So there's that volume and efficiency with him on his blitz packages really impress me. And I would lean towards him getting a little bit more than Burrow, but I wouldn't be surprised if Burrow gets a go ball to Chase or something when he finds it and just can three-step quick throw it out. I could see that.
It's definitely been, again, I feel like it's just something that Burrow probably had probably his worst performance that he's had in a long time in any level of football. And I feel like hell hath no scorn like Joe Burrow when you fuck with him. And he just has that swagger about him. I think he has that moxie, all those classic cliches. So, I just also think that the Ravens are bluffing a lot more. I think that they've gotten like Odafe away involved. They keep Bowser, Queen's a good blitzer. They like to use Deshaun Elliott, Chuck Clark, all these guys. And Stink Fartenwale was talking today about the positionless defenders, and talking about Deshaun Elliott, who had two quarterback hits last week. So I feel like it might be a little bit more bluff than blitz, would be a nice way to mess with Joe Burrow, especially where there could be some crowd noise that'll affect communication. But to sum up this offense and kind of get around, obviously, I mean, you know, Ja'Marr Chase kicks ass. Ravens fans know Tyler Boyd. T. Higgins is a really technically sound, bigger receiver. But what are you seeing in this run game? And you mentioned how it's kind of been just to take some pressure off of Burrow while it hasn't been super explosive. But Joe Mixon, I mean, has more carries after contact than before. So, you know, what is this run game? Obviously, it's a lot of zone, but what is it? Where can it go? How can it get better? And do you think that, you know, some of it might be that Mixon was a little banged up, which happens every year, but he's moved past that.
Yeah, I feel like almost every running back gets banged up every year, I mean, other than Derrick Henry. So it's just something, when I expect a running back, I think 14 games. There'll probably be two that he misses for whatever reason. some of it's that, some of it is, it makes it's not really hitting the explosive plays, but when it gets going, like he had over 5 yards per carry just against the Lions, and it's a ton of 8 yards here, maybe a 10-yard gain. It's never 20 plus to really inflate.
There's very few negative plays.
Yeah, he does such a good job of at least getting 2 or 3 at worst. And then, sometimes 0, but, you know, he gets to the line. He doesn't make something weird happen and lose 4 yards or anything like that. He can consistently hit pretty good to good plays. It's a lot of wide zone. They brought in Frank Pollock from the Jets and Cowboys. And, well, he used to be in Cincinnati as well. But he likes to run wide zone. I think anywhere in the weak side, strong side, to the bubble, away from it, even, odd, whatever. He said, I can run it, whatever. And they just this past week have started to marry in some jet motion at the snap. Sean McVay, I mean, that's Zach Taylor from the Sean McVay tree, so this makes sense. But they just started adding that in to try to – what that does for the offensive line is it creates better angles for them, specifically against linebackers, so that they can't fast blow to get over top and the slower offensive linemen can't reach them. It holds them for a second to kind of tee them up for whoever's climbing. That helps. And I don't think it's a coincidence. I mean, it's also the Lions, but the Lions have done a pretty good job against the run, I think, before that game. So running for over 5 yards per carry, I think it was a good performance. And I think the jet motion at the snap with the wide zone kind of helps.
What are you expecting to see out of this group of tackles in Reef and Jonah Williams? Because the Ravens, you know, they're off to, I wouldn't say a super hot start as far as their pass rush goes, but they're having some guys that are just quietly putting together good seasons. Justin Houston, Tyus Bowser has really had his moments. And then they've got this wild card in Odafe Oweh, who they're getting a lot of really interesting looks out of, and he's making a lot of plays. How do you expect that battle on the lines to kind of play out?
I think both the tackles are pretty solid, especially in pass protection. Riley Reiff is just the at right tackle. He's just the, solid, unspectacular performer. And on the other side, you have Jonah Williams, who better in pass protection than run blocking because he's not as beefy and long to really move guys in the run game like a Mekhi Becton, but he's technically sound and he does a good job maintaining body positioning, everything like that. So he does a solid job in the run game. I think he's very low on like pressures allowed, stats like that, but some of that is Joe Burrow is really, really quick at getting the ball out as well. So always have to say the impressive thing, but kind of give context to it.
For sure. It feels like the one missing thing, and let's say, you know, Bengals maybe win this game, maybe win. When's their bye?
I think it's week.
Is it 9. After the deadline? Which is, I think that's after the deadline.
I think it's after the deadline.
I think so. So the one missing link for this offense for me, and I don't know if you agree, but it just feels like I like CJ Uzomah a lot. Drew Sample is okay. He can do some things for sure. But if they were to have a real dude as a tight end that could go in line, split out a little bit, you know, be versatile, feels like the missing piece. And I'm interested to see. It feels like at the trade deadline, I'm sure let's talk a little defense after this, but do you see that being a good way that if the Bengals are like, screw it, we need to make a damn playoff run. This is year 3 for Zach Taylor. Joe Burrow is playing well. Do you think that's where they would look? That would be a cheap option, like maybe a Gesicki, somewhere around the NFL.
Like an O.J. Howard would be really exciting on name value. Athletic, can block and catch. For whatever reason, he doesn't stay in favor in Tampa. That would be really fun. That would be really cool. I think the Bengals GM is kind of conservative about stuff like that. I don't expect a trade of really any sort. And if they did, I wouldn't be surprised if it was for a center because Trey Hopkins hasn't looked the same since his injury. And, I mean, they really want to protect Burrow, solidify the offensive line. They definitely do not want this season to end up like last season where he's on IR rehabbing and they're completely out of any type of playoff race.
Yeah, and it looks like the Browns are about to score a touchdown here on the Broncos. They have absolutely marched down the field, so that's, you know, just absolutely great for everyone listening to this. But I guess we can switch over to the defensive side of the ball here. I think we were all, and probably especially you with more the perspective on it, I think we were all relatively bearish on what Lou Anarumo was going to bring to the defense this year. But they're playing well. I mean, it's very much a storyline right now that they're kind of punching above their weights and better than the sum of their parts here. I think Jesse Bates is kind of the face of the players, sort of the leader amongst that unit. So what has kind of led to the defensive renaissance that I don't even think the staunchest Cincy supporters were really expecting this year?
Yeah, I think I said they could be pretty good, but I mean, they've been great so far. Top five in points allowed. Like I said, I'll give credit to DJ Reader for everything. Two gapping as a nose tackle, taking on blocks. I don't think it's surprising to see that the linebackers are all having career years the year that DJ Reader is healthy, because linebackers can play clean a lot better than they can play taking on blocks. But I mean, on the other end, you have Jesse Bates, fantastic guy, as a deep free safety, and that helps your corners, which Chidobe Awuzie is having a career year at cornerback because he finally has a safety behind him that doesn't just take heads off like Xavier Woods. He's got a guy that wants to break up passes and make plays on the ball, get turnovers. And Logan Wilson, I already mentioned linebackers having a career year, but it's more than a career year for him, as he has four interceptions. I know Ravens fans will remember him as, well, hopefully remember him for the good play. He made an interception off Lamar. He's done the same blitz, and it was the same one he used on Lamar, where it's a Lou Anarumo, probably other people, but I mainly watch the Bengals, so I know this one. They bring like six guys, like it's a cover zero look, but if Logan Wilson specifically is contacted, he just disengages and gets into the passing window of wherever the quarterback's looking. And since the quarterback's looking and he feels like he has cover zero, he's throwing it hot, and he got a pick off Justin Fields doing that. He's got an interception off Ben Roethlisberger doing that. Just Ben Roethlisberger just threw one right at him another time, so he had two interceptions that game. Just having a career year, just a ball magnet. This past week, he just ripped the ball out of some receiver's hands, and it counts as an interception instead of a fumble for whatever reason. Didn't hold the ball long enough, I don't know. His turnover, just ball magnet, doing a great job of creating turnovers and getting the offense in advantageous positions.
Yeah, Logan Wilson, I had the old red star on him coming out of Wyoming. He was an older prospect, but you saw all the intangibles in the pass game. You saw the technical ability in the run game, hand placement, ability to beat blocks. He definitely did pick Lamar Jackson off twice last year, made an outstanding play on one of them. He's got, you know, a good bit of length. He's fast. He's smart. He's all the, you know, classic cliche white guy stuff, gritty or whatever you want to call him. Exactly. Yeah. He's a grinder. He's, you know, whatever you want to call him. The other side of that sword, the guy that I'm personally interested in, because my favorite linebackers in last year's class were Patrick Queen, Malik Harrison, Logan Wilson, and Akeem Davis Gaither. So how is ADG looking? I like to call him like Isaiah Simmons mini. Or Isaiah Simmons light.
Isaiah Simmons without the knee cartilage. I think he's doing great. He's very athletic, it shows. He's more of the nickel backer right now, but I think the Bengals, like, they're a 3-4 base normally, but every time they play the Ravens under Lou Anarumo, they get into a 4-3 over stack type defense, probably to get more second-level defenders to try to flow with the option run game and try to track down Lamar or whoever has the ball rather than getting caught up on the line. And I'm actually expecting that all three linebackers will start the game, at least against 12 and 21, to have Logan Wilson, Akeem Davis Gaither, and Jermaine Pratt on the field at the same time. So this will be his first game, presumably with really extended snap count. Normally it's around 25 or so, but yeah, we'll see a lot this week. And he's been pretty good. Like I said, almost all the linebackers have had career years, and I attribute a lot of that to, I mean, the supporting cast around them, but they're doing a good job on their own as well in coverage and supporting the run.
Yeah, I think it's interesting to that point, though, because, like, the Ravens have, you know, they've kind of smoked the Bengals in the run game the last couple of years. That's kind of been a big reason why they've been able to have such success against them, but like, we're talking about a different offense, you know, a much different offense than I think we were even expecting coming into this year. They're throwing the ball a lot more, kind of by necessity, but also as a strength. You know, you got Lamar Jackson leading the league in ADOT. You got these receivers playing really well, and they're going to the quick game. They're taking advantage of the fact that their offensive line is just not where it needs to be. So how do you kind of project, looking at the secondary? I got Uwuze starting on one side, Eli Apple starting on the other one. So how do you see – this defense trying to bottle up a passing game that is off to a pretty good start so far. I think better than people were expecting.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Awuzie shadow Marquise Brown to try to limit explosive plays that way. He shadowed Davante Adams, for the most part, got injured. He didn't give up 200 yards. That was a group effort. I think in coverage he gave up about 80, but he also had an interception. So pretty good day in the office to face Davante Adams and do that as not a top five corner. Just he's having a good year, though. I would expect that. Eli Apple, he's starting. He's on the other side. Since week three or so, he's been fine. Not abysmal. He kind of was abysmal in week one, specifically one drive where he missed a tackle on the sideline that got a first down on like third and 15. And then he has a holding call when they get a sack, and then he gives up the touchdown. It's all on one drive. I was like, oh, that's like the worst thing that could happen to you as a corner. And then Mike Hilton in the slot. Normal, everybody knows his name in the AFC North. Great blitzer, great fitting the run, okay coverage guy. Still Von Bell.
He's a good spot dropper. He's just not like a good matchup cover corner in man.
Yeah. I actually think they might blitz him a bit this week because the Bengals tried to blitz Lamar with Darius Phillips in the game last year in Baltimore, and it worked pretty well. He had some pass breakups, had some pressure. So I wouldn't be surprised that they got a better guy at doing that, and they'll just send him just as often, if not more. So we'll see what happens. Von Bell can be taken advantage of in coverage. He's kind of like Mike Hilton, but at safety. Better in the box, fitting the run, and rushing the passer, just making things happen that way. Yeah, Awuzie on Brown, and other than that, I mean, they're going to play mostly zone, I assume. You don't really want to turn your back to a guy that's a 4-2-whatever athlete like Lamar Jackson.
Nobody does. Nobody does. I mean, it's been a really good contrast, and I know your answer is going to be DJ Reader, but aside from DJ Reader, there's been two gapping his tail off. So the Ravens play the Colts, and then they play the Chargers. So we watched the Colts have Darius Leonard and have, Buckner, a couple other guys just were able to really, I don't want to say destroy the Ravens run game, but they were really capable of containing it. Then we see the Chargers, who Joey Bosa, you think is going to be able to, Joey Bosa got his ass kicked. For whatever reason, usually doesn't work that way. They don't really have any good second level defenders. They don't have a lot of help because they run so much too high. So if the Bengals are going to be able to really gap and fit and stop this run game, you can talk about DJ Reader as much as you possibly want to, and anyone else that comes to mind, because a lot of it comes down to, this Ravens offense isn't some new shiny thing. You got to execute. You got to execute well. You got to beat blocks, beat linemen, beat Pat Ricard, all those things. So who's going to do that?
Yeah, I'll say DJ Reader. It's the center for the Ravens hasn't been spectacular this year, I don't think.
He's a solid, technically sound guy.
Okay. It's still DJ Reader, who in my mind is the top 4 or 5, maybe even 3 nose tackle in this league. And just really strong, really good at getting away with holding, obviously. That's a nose tackle necessity. Other than that, also 2-gap, which play in 1 gap, gets to the other one. He can cross face really well. There's everything like that. I'll also say Larry Ogunjobi's kind of a wild card of when he's on, his get off is just firing off the ball and he's getting into the backfield before anybody gets a hand on him. He can really disrupt a run game. BJ Hill and Josh Tupou, the other two interior defensive linemen, have also done really good job.
Is BJ Hill getting used as like a sub rusher more?
Kind of. So not completely, though, because he's in on base downs, too.
Okay. And teams are just throwing the ball more on the Bengals?
Yeah. Because the run defense has been really good. So they face a lot more passes than they have runs, I think. I mean, I don't have the stats to back that up.
Probably. But, I mean, that's probably most NFL teams.
Of course, yeah. He had a good rep last week against the run where he crossed face and made a tackle for a loss. So he's been getting run reps, although I think he's been, especially week one, he was definitely better rushing the passer. And then other than those guys, I think one of the underrated abilities that Jesse Bates has is coming off the roof of the defense to try to make a tackle. And the only game the Bengals didn't have great run defense was the Jaguars game, which James Robinson, he's great, but that was also the only game Jesse Bates has missed. So the backup wasn't as good at recognizing run quickly, recognizing and reacting and getting downhill to try to make the play. So I think he's kind of the I already called Larry Ogunjobi the wild card, but he's kind of the one that's unexpected. You don't expect Jesse Bates, free safety, to be a key run defender, but I think he is.
For sure.
Absolutely. Well, I think we are running short on time here. We got another guest that's going to be hopping on with us here in a second. So, Mike, thanks for joining us again, bud. It was a great chat, very informative, always fun to catch up with you here. You're becoming quickly a friend of the pod, I think. So, hope you had as much fun as we do. And before we get you out of here, how about a little bit of prediction for Sunday?
Oh, I predict to Ravens fans' delight, my prediction was 24-17 Ravens. I think it'll be close. I think the defenses are going to be key. I think the offenses will both maybe have a little bit of a struggle, but I mean, I could be wrong. Ravens just ran for 400 yards against the Bengals last time they played. But yeah, 24-17 Ravens, but a close game, and I could see the Bengals pulling it out.
Very cool. All right, bud. Well, why don't you go ahead and plug your Twitter, whatever else you got before you get you out of here as well.
Yeah, Bengals_Sands on Twitter. And yeah, thanks for having me, guys. I really enjoy coming on here.
Absolutely, bud. You have yourself
Thank
a good
you so
weekend.
Much, Mike.
Yep, you enjoy the game, and we appreciate it.
Yep, bye.
Bye.
Incredible. Ridiculous.
All right, we now welcome on another guest, a very special guest. It's a little bit more of an unconventional one. It's one that I think we've been had in the works for a couple weeks here. It's a guy that if you're familiar with this team, if you've been tracking their wins over the past, you know, 5 weeks as they've been happening, you might have seen this guy on the Twitterverse. It's Nick Cullison, otherwise known as Tattoo Guy. That's in your bio on Twitter, so I feel no shame in calling you Tattoo Guy. Nick, my first question for you is, when the first loss inevitably does happen, are you going to be wrapping this up with a no regrets tattoo across your chest?
No, I don't think that's what's going to happen.
Well, yeah, we appreciate you coming on, man.
I appreciate it.
So how did this all get started? Give us the background. Give us the detail. What made you feel feisty, frisky? Want to go get that ink, brother?
You know, when that Ravens Chiefs game happens, you know, that's one of those games where it's like a rivalry that kind of just got brought on us because of the Mahomes-Jackson era. But it's one of those games as a Ravens fan that we dread, but we look forward to. And I told my wife before the game, I was like, I have a weird feeling we're going to win this year, you know, and if we win, I'm getting it tattooed on me. And she was like, all right, if you say so. And then obviously the game transpired into a win, and she was like, all right, let's do it. So she called me out on it, and I was like, all right, let's go. And we did it.
And so from there, how does it turn into, okay, they win next week, I'm going to get another one. They win the next week, I'm going to get another one. Like, is it just kind of a YOLO thing at this point, or like, what's the deal?
Well, yeah, so week three came around, and I was like, I don't know if I'm going to continue it, you know, because that first tattoo blew up. And I was like, am I going to continue this trend, or am I going to, you know, just cut my ties with it? And then Justin Tucker hit that 66-yarder, and I was like, oh, yeah, we're going. You know, it's happening.
So how are you deciding every week? Like, are you just thinking – like, have you started to draft a little bit in your mind? Like, I saw you get the bolt down one or whatever it was. Like, you broke down the Chargers logo in half. So are you, like, thinking right now already, like, do you have something in mind for the Bengals? Like, what's the process here? Are you just waiting until the game happens? You're like, I'm going to go get it. I'll think of it on the spot.
So – I kind of get like little ideas in my head, you know, before the game, but it's not until I actually sit down and I'm watching the game until something jumps out at me and I'm like, okay, that's what we're going with. You know, it's kind of spur of the moment. And like for the bolt down one, the game ended and my wife just started drawing right then. So then within 2 hours I had it on me, you know, like it was just boom, boom, boom. And that's kind of what we're going with right now. See how it goes.
So what is your background with the team? I can hear you got yourself a Baltimore accent. I can definitely hear that. And I love that about you. So I'm guessing you're from the area. So I'm guessing you just kind of grew up a fan and you've been passionately following them to the point that something like this was probably always inevitably going to happen. Or what's sort of your history with the Ravens?
Yeah, man. I grew up in the Baltimore area. I was born in Baltimore. Then I joined the military when I turned 18. So I've been gone ever since, you know. Every 3 years I'm moving somewhere. Right now I live in Oklahoma. And it's just one of those things. I've always followed the Ravens, even though I've left, you know. I've always, my house and everything's decorated with the Ravens. I got my man cave, all that, you know.
Hell yeah.
So it's just one of those things where it's my favorite team. It's one of the teams I'm very passionate about. So everybody that says like, oh, you're going to regret these tattoos. I mean, no, I'm not. I mean, it blew up. I didn't really want it. Like, I didn't expect anything. All I expected is my friends and my family would think it was funny. You know, that was like the joke. And then, so I don't really care.
Do you have other tattoos or just these?
Oh yeah. Both of my arms are completely covered. I've got one on my back, my calves, my ankle, you know, I have a lot of tattoos.
But yeah, you're fine then.
First one's on the thighs.
I feel like that's a fun area to get. That doesn't hurt too bad, right? There's a lot of meat there.
Well, I didn't think it would hurt that much, but once you start getting on that inside.
Oh, yeah. That's sensitive town. That's where, like, if you get a little zit or something, you're like, oh, God.
What's been the five that you've gotten for this one so far, what's been the most painful one? I don't have any tattoos, and I don't know if I'm ever going to get one because I'm scared of needles. So I'm curious about the pain level here.
Honestly, I think the one that hurt the most, which surprisingly enough, it was that field goal, right? And the reason it was because I was drinking that day.
Oh, yeah.
So the ink wasn't going into my skin. You know, my skin was rejecting the ink.
They're stabbing you.
So I just told my wife, I said, dig in. And I paid the price for that because that one really did hurt. And
wait, your wife is the tattoo artist?
Oh, yeah. She's doing them. She's not a tattoo artist, but she's doing them.
That's so sick. I didn't know that. I thought she was just drawing them.
Nope, she got a tattoo gun a couple months ago, and now I'm just her little test dummy. So.
I also have a Ravens tattoo on my calf that my buddy did after they won the Super Bowl. I just have something for Ray Lewis, and my buddy had the same thing, bought a gun, practiced a couple times. That shit, the ink was running away because he was sticking me too deep. Ooh, it hurt bad. I thought that was like, she's doing pretty good is what I'm trying to say. Like, I thought it wasn't good. Like, I'm not going to lie, I don't think it's, I thought you were getting these at a shop. And I was like, oh, that doesn't look bad. So for me to think it didn't look bad, but for her to have just gotten a gun a couple months ago is like she's doing an A-plus job is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. If you look progressively week by week, they're slowly getting better. You
right.
know? The
right.
Justin Tucker one's rough. We can all say that. She can say that.
But that's cool, though, because it's literally your wife getting better at tattooing you as the Ravens win games. Like, that's a sick little side.
Your body is a canvas.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you excited to one day hopefully meet Jacoby Jones and show him your Ravens tattoos and then he'll show you his and it's just like, wow, man, mine are like way better than yours.
Man, I thought about that too, especially when we went and played Denver because of the whole Mile High Miracle. You know, that's one of those history moments that every Ravens fan knows exactly where they were during that game. And I did think about that. It would be pretty cool.
Is that your favorite Ravens game of all time? What's your favorite game of all time, excluding Super Bowls?
I would say that was like that one, and honestly, this Colts game that just passed. Nobody thought we were coming back with 12 minutes left. I mean, everybody had that doubt in their head. The only people that knew that we were going to come back were the players on the field. You know, they had that drive in them. But that might go down as one of my favorite games I've ever watched. Just because it was really good one,
especially regular season.
Yeah, absolutely. For a regular season game, you know, there's just so many Ravens games. I really enjoy the experience of actually being at M&T Bank, and I've traveled a lot to go see them. So I would say 2 years ago when we played the Rams on Monday night, when Lamar Jackson's first Monday night game, I was there. Oh, that's one of my favorite games too.
Yeah, that's definitely a big one. I mean, I'm not sure what else I got. Spenny, you got anything else here?
No, brother, we really appreciate you coming on. It's a cool story. Like, I love the fact that your wife is doing them. That makes it even, like, amazing. Like, watching her get better every week is so cool. We got to get you out here for another one at the bank, man. And hopefully there's, like, you know, 12, 13, 14 tattoos on your leg at that point. And maybe for a little playoff game. And I'll tell you, man, I've said the phrase Team of Destiny a couple times. And shit like this, shit like what you're doing, gives me a little bit of those vibes. The fact that the Ravens have so many players hurt and keep winning. Like what Lamar's doing, mm-hmm. things like what you're doing, little Team of Destiny. So we got to get you out here again, get to the bank, and we appreciate you coming on so much. Feel free to plug your Twitter or anything in the entire world, man.
All right, I appreciate it. Yeah, I'll be there on November 28th for the Browns-Ravens Sunday night football game. My wife and I will both be there. So
we'll have beers for you, man. We're meeting up if you're down.
Absolutely, 100% down. Just let me know. And my Twitter is Cullison11, and then my Instagram, Cullison Nick, N-I-C.
All right, buddy. Well, you have yourself a great rest of your night. You enjoy the game this weekend. You know, best of luck thinking up the Bengals victory tattoo, and hopefully we'll talk to you again at some point when you're even more filled out here.
All right, guys. I appreciate you guys having me. I'll talk to you guys soon.
Later, man.
Thanks, Nick.
I can't guarantee that anybody in the world will be alive Sunday.
All right, so some really fun chats there. As you guys could tell, it was funny because we booked the mic interview. We did that. We always kind of know what you're getting into with those types of things. But the Nick one was definitely a little more spur of the moment, kind of off the cuff type thing. And we didn't really prep a ton of questions or anything. We just kind of had a conversation with the guy who was working a shift. I think he said he was in the military, so maybe, you know, kind of doing something operationally like that. But we were just kind of dicing it up with him for a nice 10-15 minutes there. And I definitely had some fun with that. I'm sure you did too.
Yeah, a lot of fun. Both of those guys getting to stink fart and wail and getting to Ravens tattoos. And me and Nick both have Ravens tattoos. So blood brothers for life, Nick. I hope you had a good time. I'm looking forward to that Cleveland Browns game. That Browns game is Thanksgiving season. So that's the one where we have to get – I'm going to try and get a real Baltimore beatdown tailgate for that one. That feels like a good one to do it for. Browns coming to Baltimore, all that good stuff. And that's right around Thanksgiving. So a lot of people are probably home and might want to go to that game. So that's the one I'm going to aim for like an official. And we'll get a bunch of 30s and stuff and have food and drinks and everything for everyone to come and have fun. And we'll do that in like Lot G and Lot H, where the real tailgate goes on, and something of that sort. But yeah, I'm going to do fast stats real quick on the Bengals. Just a couple things that stuck out. I'm just going to rattle on through. So Joe Burrow against zone, 19th in EPA, 23rd in points earned, 25th in points per play. He has the fourth highest bust rate, which means the play had a negative EPA. Bust rate is so sick, and I never even thought about it. So sick. He's 62 and 94, 102 dropbacks, 786 yards, 5 touchdowns, 3 picks. Then if you switch on over to man coverage, which 90% of the man coverage he's faced is cover one, he is second in points earned, second in points earned per play, second in EPA, highest boom percentage, which is a percentage of plays that have a positive EPA. And he actually is first in that by 10%, which is the same difference between second place and eighth place. 23 of his 50 passes against man coverage have gone for either 10 yards or a touchdown, hence the boom percentage. He's 36 of 50, 605 yards, 7 tutties, 2 picks. They don't really throw a lot of screens. 15, nothing crazy's happened there. An interesting quote from Joe Burrow after hitting a tight end screen against the Jaguars was that he said that Joe Cullen, he knew, came from the Ravens, and the Ravens like to run a lot of cover zero on third down. So Joe Cullen hits him with cover zero. He hits CJ Uzomo, rattles for 24 yards there. So something to watch there. 41 of Joe Burrow's 196 dropbacks are play action. He is 23 of 37 on play action. Nothing crazy there. When he is pressured, he is 25th in the NFL in points earned. He has a negative 8.79 EPA, which is 26th. 22nd. And he has only seen 8 passes of man 2 coverage. When the Bengals see cover 1, which is man match or, you know, single high man coverage, he has fucking obliterated the earth. He is by far the best passer in the NFL. He has thrown 3 deep touchdowns to Jamar Chase, 4 more passes. So 7 Jamar Chase receptions have been against cover 1, 3 touchdowns and 4 gains of at least 28 yards. Cover 3, he's been okay. Only seen 33 dropbacks. Burrow just generally doesn't have a ton of zip against cover 3, but he does like to throw to T. Higgins against cover 3. It seemed like a common theme. He's not good against 2 high coverages. He has seen the second most 2 high coverages in the NFL. He's thrown 3 touchdowns and 3 interceptions, and he has taken the most sacks of any quarterback when facing 2 high with 10. The only other quarterback who has taken more than 5 is Justin Fields, who is a rookie. Joe Mixon hasn't done a ton this year. Mike Sand's gotten to that. He's a workhorse back. He puts them, he has a lot of neutral runs where it's not really a positive or a negative play, but, you know, gets into second and 7, second and 6, second and 5, second and 8. Does okay. They really don't run the ball out of shotgun that much. Only 23 of Mixon's 111 carries have come out of shotgun. They run duo a lot, which is like a power without a puller. And basically all of Jamar Chase's production has come against cover 1. He has the 50% boom percentage against cover 1, which is by far the first. The Bengals also have the second highest neutral pass rate in the red zone.
In other words, on first or second and long, they throw the ball every time. They have the fifth lowest when they're outside the red zone. So when they get in the red zone, they like to throw it a lot. Quinton Spain is a dominant lineman right now. He's kind of reminded me of a Roger Saffold down in Tennessee. Ravens fans might be familiar. Bengals defense, 22nd in points saved, 11th or in points saved against the as a pass rushing unit, 11th as a run defense, and 9th as a pass defense. They mix up their coverages pretty well. Cover one, cover two, and cover three with a little bit of quarters in there is their predominant deal. They have blitzed 197 times, they have not blitzed, so rushed four or less on 197 of opponents' dropbacks, and they have blitzed on only 39 of opponents' dropbacks. So they don't blitz very much. Mike Sands gave you the long and short, so that was some fast stats. And Bengals are a good defense, man. They're a solid team, got a good quarterback, some weapons, and a good defense.
Yeah, I've heard some people picking the Bengals to win. I think somewhat on the strength of the fact that people still making a thing of the fact that the Ravens have played in all these close games and, you know, not necessarily lucky to be 5-1, but it's just a little bit precarious. But the Bengals, you know, they've kind of been in some interesting ones as well. You got a W over Minnesota in overtime. Then you lose 20-17 to Chicago in week two. You beat Pittsburgh 24-10. Steelers stink, whatever. 24-21 W over Jacksonville. That was an interesting one. You lose
to
Green Bay.
Went down to the wire.
Yeah, exactly. It did go down to the wire, and it was one play by Joe Burrow that we talked about with the Mike interview there. You lose to Green Bay 25-22 in overtime. And then, I mean, I think this past week probably really took people off their scent a little bit where they go to Detroit and they just get a workman-like win 34-11. So I think the narratives, if they play a closer game leading up to this, I'm not sure they're in a spot where a lot of people would be calling this as close. But to be fair, I think the Bengals are a very talented team. I think their coaching staff is, it's been maligned, I think, even by us in the past. And I think you got to give them credit for coaching some of these guys up, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So I think it's going to be an interesting game. I like a lot of the stats that you just threw out there. I think Joe Burrow is playing really well, but I guess we're going to see what happens.
For sure. And I thought I got some shit on Twitter for saying this would be a 7-win team. You know, I'm not tooting my own horn because I didn't have them being 4-2. I think they're probably going to win more than 7 games, but that just goes to show how kind of lowly people thought of this team heading into the year. I was very low on Zach Taylor in a very dumb, subjective way. I was low on him because I listened to Sean McVay's podcast with Peter Schrager, and I just kind of didn't feel the it factor at all, which is a dumb, you know, we always say sports talk radio take, and it was. And they're playing some good ball. That Packers game, there's 5 missed field goals in like the fourth quarter and overtime. So they're playing, to your point, Jake, they're playing some crazy games as well. I do think this is a talented team. I think it's a veteran defense. They've got guys like Mike Hilton and DJ Reader, veterans. You know, Jesse Bates has seen a lot. Jesse Bates plays the Ravens well. So they've definitely got some good vets. I think they're going to be a little more disruptive against the run than the Chargers were. I don't think they'll be quite as stout as the Colts were. But I don't really see the Ravens scoring, you know. I would be a little surprised to see the Ravens score into like the 34 range. I don't think that is the way this game goes. The one thing about the Bengals is they have the second slowest pace offensively in the NFL because they run the ball a lot. They like to that's the game they play. They're not playing tempo. They like to milk clock, give their defense time. They're playing a very traditional style of football right now. They like to run zone and milk the clock. So there's going to be less possessions in this game. I don't think Burrow is very, you know, he'll turn the ball over. You can get him to fumble or throw a bad pick here and there, but I think they're going to be on their P's and Q's, trying not to turn the ball over. I do think turnovers is going to be the determining factor in this game. That is the area that the Ravens really need to improve, and certainly one Lamar Jackson needs to improve. After not seeing that linebacker over the middle of the field last week, that was, you know, pretty egregiously bad. You kind of just shake it off because I went back and looked at it, and it looked like he was kind of trying to manipulate him and assumed by looking him off that he would move, and he didn't, and then just shot it in there. So things like that. I mean, Lamar's thrown a couple picks here now. You know, a couple of them have been bad, 2 bad ones against the Chiefs. You know, if one of them is unlucky against the Chargers, one of them is not unlucky, and he throws it right to someone. So I think if the Ravens don't turn the football over, they win this game. But the Bengals are a very big play-dependent team. Jamar Chase, obviously, a huge reason why. Tyler Boyd can do some things. T. Higgins can do some things. But this Bengals team is good. They have a good defense. Like, the defense is the reason they're good right now, not their offense. So I think this is going to be a tough divisional game. And you know that the Bengals are embarrassed as hell. They feel confident right now. The Ravens whooped their asses like,
what was it, 47 and 26 to a combined like six last year?
Yeah, not competitive games in the slightest. I mean, Lamar Jackson is the Bengals' Anton Shiger. Like, he is just a soulless, just serial killer that is just chasing them across the desert, and they cannot do anything to stop him. And this is going to be, and we've talked about it, this could be the big narrative buster game for them. So they're going to be coming into it fired up, and I think Joe Burrow is going to be right in the middle of the huddle saying, buckle your fucking chin straps and let's go win this thing.
Yeah, and like I said with Mike, you know, that was the game, probably the worst game of Joe Burrow's football career, at least over the last like 2-3 years. So they definitely want to win this one. They want to prove something to themselves. They want to prove something to the world. They want to prove something to the rest of the division, all that good stuff. So it's going to be a tough game. And this is a game where they can have a moral victory for sure. They're going to come into Baltimore. It's going to be loud as hell. Mike mentions how they like to go empty. Well, guess fucking what? That's a horrible idea against the Ravens at home, not being able to communicate, not being able to call out things unless you got some real good hand signals going. So, we just saw Justin Herbert have some struggles. The Ravens secondary is uber healthy. Watch out for maybe, you know, everyone's talking about Marlon. Watch out for Jimmy Smith to maybe cover Ja'Marr Chase a little bit. Try and go body him at the line of scrimmage a little bit too. So going to be an interesting game. I think the Bengals will be able to hit some shots and they've got some moxie, but I don't know. It's a divisional game and it's a pretty decent team. You look at DVOA and all that stuff, you know, Bengals aren't bad, man. So, they've had some close wins and things of that nature. Jake, you make a good point. They're probably riding high in the power rankings after shitting on the Lions, who were kind of beaten, broken, and damned going into the week. So, interesting game, but ultimately Lamar Jackson at home. The Ravens have been at home for a month, or going to be at home for a month. They've been here a couple weeks now at this point. They're rested. They're getting healthy. They're, you know, regaining strength. So going with predickies, let's let you get into it first, as is tradition.
So on tally site, I picked the Ravens to win 31-23. I think a turnover, I don't know if it's going to be a pick six or a fumble recovery, but I think a turnover is going to set the Ravens up well to score, and that's going to prove the difference.
One secret little factor, a little nugget here, is Josh Bynes was on the damn Bengals last year, so he's got a little insight.
And he's also he's going up to the podium. He's got Wink Martindale talking him up, saying, "I love this guy. He settled them down." When's the last time they signed Josh Bynes to settle this defense down?
Not so long ago.
So that's a factor to consider.
Yeah, I think he's got a little insight into the way things work there. I think Mike Hilton brings a little interesting insight for what the Steelers like to do against the Ravens. So I think there's some smart defensive minds there. I think we see a kind of sloppy drag-out game where the Bengals don't blitz. You're going to have to pick them apart a little bit. Lamar Jackson's going to have to be Lamar Jackson. So I'm going to take a Ravens win, and let's go with a nice AFC North 23-16.
I think Mike picked 24-17. I think that's interesting from you guys, because I think as much as you say AFC North, I think the script is flipped on this division. I feel like this is much more of an offensive division than it was a decade ago. But I like that.
For sure, but I feel like these two teams right now, the Ravens coming off a big defensive game, you know, the Bengals defense kind of has shit on. They held Aaron Rodgers to, what, 22 points in regulation, something like that.
Sure.
I think they can do some things. I think this game could very well be over by like 3:47 p.m. If the Bengals want to do what they've been doing and the Ravens want to run the ball a little bit, like, this game could go quick. So I think penalties and turnovers are what decides it. And I think that at home, the Ravens relaxed here a little bit. They've got their sights set on kind of being a machine and proving doubters wrong and all that good shit. So at the end of the day, they have Lamar Jackson. Joe Burrow is a good quarterback too. And Joey Burrow is going to make a couple plays. I think he's a little more ready for the Ravens than maybe a Justin Herbert was last week. And I think they have a couple tricks up their sleeve, but this Ravens secondary is healthy. I've shouted out a couple times now, but you've got six DBs that are in year three or more with Wink Martindale. So they've got continuity on the back end. This Bengals team relies on a lot of deep shots. I think they hit a couple, a couple explosive plays, but not a ton. So it's going to be interesting. I don't know. I can make a fool out of myself by saying this, but I'm not utterly shocked if, you know, the Bengals win this game. I wouldn't be completely shocked at all.
No, I don't think so either. No, I think they
won. Divisional game.
Yeah, it's a divisional game. They're going to want it bad. They've got offensive firepower, which I think is really a deciding factor in 2021. I don't think that's any sort of hot take. So, yeah, I could definitely see this being a loss, but I don't know. I think the Ravens are going to ride this thing all the way into the bye at 6-1 and then reevaluate from there. It's a whole new season after that, I think.
Right. And they've got that bye. That is a classic, you know, I feel like I might be wrong, but isn't there something where it's like John Harbaugh is.
He's money off the bye.
Money. But before the bye, don't they fucking flounder?
Maybe. I don't know, but it's.
I think
it's,
they're like 5-10 before the bye or
maybe,
something.
Maybe. Yeah. It's an Andy Reid coaching tree thing to be really good off the bye. Andy Reid's really good off the bye. I think all his guys have been as well.
Yeah. So there's a little bit of a trap there maybe, but they're at home. You got to handle business and it's a tough matchup. So, I think this is going to be an interesting game, but yeah, that about does it. I think we both got dubs and we do both have dubs. So hopefully, Ravens are sitting at 6-1 and we get some time to have some fun conversations and do kind of a mid-season review and go back and look at the future and you know, the rest of the schedule as it starts to get a little chilly outside and all that good stuff. So yeah, that about does it for me.
Does it for me as well. So I guess we can go ahead and get out of here.
Get out of here. Podcastbeatdownmerch.com. Got some spooky season mugs and hoodies and t-shirts and some good stuff of that nature.
Yours truly actually has a mug on order right now.
Yeah, Jakey's going to be drinking out of it. We'll be drinking out of it. Get the mug. It is a John Harbaugh good mug, and it has our logo in the back and some spooky Ravens colored font. Not exactly, so I don't think they can sue us, but hey, you never know.
We'll find a way, I'm sure.
We'll find a way to get sued at some point or just get a cease and desist. Don't worry, Lamar. We will not infringe upon you. But yeah, podcastbeatdownmerch.com. Free stickers coming with the orders here shortly. So we appreciate you guys. You know, that's going to help us get an intern. That's going to help us do plenty of great things and continue to make this podcast bigger, better, stronger, and faster. So again, podcastbeatdownmerch.com. I do have an expedited shipping on there now. If you do so choose, it is expensive, but so is expedited shipping. So that's all on there. Appreciate you guys who have bought. All of those orders should be from the first batch, should be coming in the next couple of days here. I think it was 5 to 8 business days, about 5 business days ago. So they should start to come in now. Thank you so much to everyone who ordered and get us out of here, Jakey boy.
Check it out. Check us out on social media at Podcast Beatdown on Twitter. I am at Jake Luke. That is Louque. Spencer is at Ravens 4 Dummies. That's the number 4 in the middle. Get at us on Instagram. We're starting to do some big numbies on there at Baltimore_Beatdown. And follow our flagship Twitter page as well at Baltimore or at Be More Beatdown. And check out our website too. All the great written content that we've got going on there, BaltimoreBeatdown.com. And YouTube page is just Baltimore Beatdown. We crossed over into the 1,000 subscriber territory. So we've got a K in our subscriber count on YouTube, which is really
got
all
a
that
K in our bank account.
I just wanted to see that K. And Spenny's doing some great film review stuff on YouTube there as well. So be sure to pop in over there and check those out. You can watch them live or you can go back and watch them retroactively. So that's some really good content as well that you should be getting into if you like the video stuff and if you like film breakdown kind of content. And I will be returning on there with the Madden series. I put that on hiatus for a little bit because Madden is incredibly stupid and I'm incredibly stupid and I didn't realize I was playing the Xbox One version, even though I have a Series X. So I'm restarting on the Series X. I'm going to reload all the record and presets and all the stuff that I had. And also the new scouting update is in there. So we're going to have some fun with it. I've already played one of the games and I'm currently in the process of editing that. So that's coming back as well. So get at us on YouTube. But in the meantime, hope you guys have yourselves a grand weekend and we'll talk to you again early next week.
Spooky see ya.
Arrivederci.
Gourlami. Gourlami.
Arrivederci.
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 Arrivederci. Arrivederci.